The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello, and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Walsh.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And we've had a lot of great feedback on our prompt engineering series, mainly because prompts and prompt engineering and generative AI is the entry point for so many people into the world of AI, and it is proving to be highly valuable. People are getting a ton of real results from these generative AI systems, whether they're generating text or images or audio, or just in general, all these use of large language models. And we are making just as much use of them as everybody else is. So, well, you know, yes, we are using the AI systems. We're not building new AI models. We're not creating a lot of the AI systems that we spend so much time talking about in our AI Today podcast, especially in use of the CPMEA methodology. The Cognitive Project Manager for AI methodology is still highly valuable to talk about prompt engineering and the use of prompts, primarily because it's a way that so many people get value today from AI systems.
Exactly. You know, and Ron and I were having a conversation a few days ago talking about, because he says that, you know, prompt engineering is now kind of that gateway into AI, where a few years ago it was RPA, robotic process automation, that everybody was talking about. And now everybody's talking about, you know, large language models, prompt engineering, and getting better at that. So we wanted to spend time on today's podcast, continuing in our prompt engineering best practices series. And for today's podcast, we're going to be discussing Hack and Track. So if you've followed along to our newsletters, then great, because you're getting some insights there. And if you're not, I will link to it in the show notes. You can also find it on LinkedIn, and I encourage you to read and subscribe to our newsletter, because we provide a lot of great, you know, additional value in that newsletter, as well as links to our upcoming talks that we do. Ron and I do a lot of virtual and in-person presentations and keynotes. So you can see all of that there. But for today's podcast, we're going to be talking about Hack and Track. So what is it? Why is it a best practice? And then you can reflect and see if you're doing this at your organization. So if you've been doing, you know, prompts, you know that experimenting, testing, and refining your prompts really is essential. We, you know, we've gone through different prompt patterns in previous podcasts on this topic, and you'll know that some prompts are better for certain tasks than others. And also, it's really an art, so you only will get better with time. So the journey to crafting that perfect prompt often involves trying different strategies, and you need to figure out what's going to work best for your specific need. If you've, you know, been doing prompts, you know it's really rare to get just the perfect prompt exactly right the first time. It's going to take iterations. And that's okay, because this really should be an iterative process. You know, we always say think big, start small, and iterate often. Continue to iterate, try different prompts, analyze your response. You're going to want to tweak things. Ron and I had a conversation yesterday with someone, and he said, you know, one word or one letter difference sometimes mattered in prompts. That's how specific you need to get. So this is why it really is an art, you know, and you can type something, I can type something, Ron could type something that I think looks pretty similar, and we get very different results because, you know, whatever it was with that one tweak really had different results. So this is what happens. And it's important to know that that does happen, and that's okay. These large language models are also evolving constantly. So what works yesterday may not work tomorrow. If you've, you know, been experimenting with these, sometimes they get upgrades as well, or maybe you've gotten an upgrade and now you've paid for a version, and that gives you different access to things that you might not otherwise have had. As a result, these prompts are, you know, and your results are going to change and get different. So a best practice right now is this approach called Hack and Track, which is where you use a spreadsheet or another method to track your prompts as you experiment. And so you can kind of, you know, say, okay, this is the prompt I used, this is the results that I got, and then rate it on a number of different factors.
Yeah. And I think the idea of variability and things not necessarily always working the exact same way is a little bit kind of the point of AI, right? Because as we talk about often, especially in our trainings, you know, that the whole purpose, the reason why we use AI is because other approaches don't work, right? So the other approach might be, well, I can program something or I can use a rules-based system. And that works if we always want to get the same output for the same input. There's no reason to use a probabilistic system for that. I can write an easy script or I can create a program or a flowchart, whatever I want to do. And I can say, whenever the user types these exact words, provide these exact outputs. Or like, that's how websites work. When they click on that page, show them this content, right? If that's sufficient, that's great. On the other hand, if we have a lot of variability, like everything's changing all the time, the inputs aren't looking the same, you know, the documents are changing. Well, if we didn't have AI, that's where we would need a person, right? Someone would need to look at the email and make a decision or look at the document or write a document or do those sorts of things. It's because we want machines to do that, that we have to deal with variability, which means by definition, these AI models, they will probably never generate the exact same output twice. It may look very similar, but if you compare, things might be slightly different, right? No two people are going to necessarily use the exact same prompts. Now, of course, they could cut and paste and you could actually use the same prompts, but the models might be different between the time that I tried this prompt, let's say a month or two ago, and you've tried it. The model might have changed, as Kathleen mentioned. Maybe they've added some moderation that is preventing you from doing some things. Maybe, you know, we talk a lot about the context window too, and I think there's sometimes a little confusion here because the context window is all the things that the LLM is going to consider when it tries to generate the response. So it's your prompt, and of course, anything that the LLM has responded to your prompt, and then all of your follow-ups. And there's usually like a limit. Now the limits are getting pretty big, right? You could put like entire books in here and you can ask questions about that. However, the confusion is that the output windows are almost always very small. So even, I think someone is saying even GPT-4 has something like, I don't know, 32 or 64K input window. The output window is still only like a few thousand tokens. So if you're trying to get this system to generate a lot of output, you will find that it'll stop, or it might say network error, or it might say, or it might summarize and go dot, 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 or something like that. That's because the output windows are small. So even with your prompts, you might find that the outputs are getting truncated, they're getting, you know, summarized. So you need to keep track of all this, you know, and this is, I think that's why this is the best practice, because one, you want to document how things are working for yourself. Two, you might want to share it with others because they might want to do the same thing. Three, you might want to see the different LLMs and their sensitivities and maybe how they're changing over time. So obviously, if you're going to be depending on it, if generative AI is going to be important to you, probably like leaving everything just in your chat window and saying, now which one was it that I asked this prompt? Probably is not the best approach. So, I mean, this may seem obvious, but keep track of it. And the hack part comes from trying different things, not necessarily hacking into something. It's more like hacking around, trial and error, which is always a best approach. So when we get into, we could talk a little about like maybe some of the things that you should consider as you're tracking the things you're putting into the prompts and the stuff that you're getting back from the generative AI systems.
Right, because you want to make sure that it's useful so that anybody can go back and understand what was done. Because the point of this is not just to have it for you, but to have it for maybe your team or group or organization-wide. So when we do this, we want to make sure, you know, some of the criteria that you can use when setting up your hack and track sheet should include the name of the task or the query, what prompt pattern or patterns you used, what LLM was used and the version as well, maybe also the date that you ran this because that can matter, and what prompt chaining approach you used, if any. And then when you look at the accuracy of the output, you're going to want to measure that. So of course, this is going to be determined by each person, but you'll want to measure the output accuracy maybe on a scale of 1 to 5, or 1 to 10, whatever you feel is the best number for your organization, with 1 being poor and 5 or 10 being the best. You also want to look at the output relevance, because we know that you're going to get an answer no matter what. These systems can hallucinate. They can provide just false and inaccurate information. So what was the relevance and the accuracy? You know, were they right? And the output consensus, was it too short? Was it too long? Was it just right? Like Goldilocks, as we always say. And so you're going to want to put that on a scale of 1 to 10. And then also the need for follow-up prompts if it was not desired or not requested. So how many times did you have to have follow-up prompts if you were, you know, just trying to do maybe a single shot prompt? And then also prompt refusals and prompt incompletion. So you want to measure all of this. Now, there may be other factors at your organization that you think are important. And as you continue to use this method, you'll continue to iterate over time. Maybe you can have the name of the person that did these prompts or the group that did these prompts, you know, whatever organization you'd like to say. Some people are nervous or feel uncomfortable with using prompts. You know, they don't want other people to judge them. So maybe they don't want their name in there. There's a lot to learn from this. You know, we say that one thing that is really important when it comes to prompt engineering in general is practice, and also learn from others, because that's going to help you get creative with your prompts, which really is the key to success. Even Ron and I, you know, we read a lot, we talk to other people. The way that they are doing some of these prompts are ways that we never would have even thought. You know, we're like, wow, you did that with prompt engineering? Wow, really? We can do it that way? And even Ron and I sometimes iterate back and forth. And he goes, well, I did this way. So I try it. And I'm like, okay, what we talk about data prep, right? Data is so important, even with prompts. And so we have to do some data preparation, data cleaning. It's like, okay, well, I have to play around and say, how do I clean this data so that I can, you know, have it be an input and it understands what I'm trying to do? And I've had to play around with that myself and continue to get more comfortable. So again, you just have to keep practicing and trying. And that's why, you know, we think this is such a cool technique, because he can write a prompt that works for him. And then I go, oh, okay, let me try that. And because we're iterating and because we're tracking this, I say, oh, interesting. If I tweak it just a little, I get better results this way, you know, and then you continue to go back and iterate. So it really does help with that creativity aspect, and it helps with that collaboration aspect, the communication aspect, you know, all of these things are so incredibly important. And learning from others, because we always say, don't reinvent the wheel, don't struggle in silence, really learn to see what's out there.
Yeah. It's interesting how much of prompt engineering really is about these non-technical things. That's why we call it the art of artificial intelligence. Because, you know, it's so weird to talk about creativity, but it's like, you know, it's like as if you're like learning how to draw and all you see are examples. Like, until you're like, oh, I'm going to draw. And you draw whatever you want to draw, pencils, crayons, markers, whatever it is. And then you see somebody else's artwork and you're like, wow, I had never thought about that. Never thought about that tick. So now it kind of, you know, you may not necessarily copy it exactly, but it's, you're like, oh, you think about it and you start changing the way you draw. And then you see somebody else, you're like, oh, that was something else I had never thought of. And it feels a lot the same way. And that people are starting to share prompts, they're trying to share ideas. And I think this is why, you know, Hack and Track, more than just for yourself, you know, keeping track of things and seeing what's working, but this is where someone else could share their track sheet and say, oh, look, you know, I've tried this. And you may be like, hey, that's really interesting. I have a need that's not too different from that. I might try that general approach. This actually happened recently. You know, we were doing some education around prompt and prompt engineering. And there's many, many different prompt patterns. But sometimes it feels like the people who come up with prompt patterns, they're not technical people. I mean, they're just like enthusiastic users, I guess. Maybe some of them are like content marketing people who just like to do stuff for, you know, all the content marketing channels. They always want to do something cool and different and unique. But sometimes they're trying stuff and they feel like, I found this like really weird trick. And it's that's actually like an SEO trick, like with this one simple trick. It's never one simple trick. But there's these interesting approaches. One approach is something called flipped interaction, which I had never tried, but we had tried it and we did it. And it's like, oh, this is really interesting. And we obviously knew about it. And the idea is if something does require many steps to do some task, or like it's a complicated problem that you don't really know all the steps, you can actually ask the LLM to tell you. You could say, hey, I'm looking at buying a house, but I don't know what I should consider. And instead of you guessing, right, and then writing that in a prompt, you know, tell me but you could say, ask me a bunch of questions until you can provide a response that is significant, or, you know, has enough of the criteria. And it'll do that. And it's kind of cool how that works. You're like, oh, I never thought about that. Was there anything programmatically different about the LLMs? The same LLMs, the same chat system, the same generative AI. It's just you figured out a different way to interact with it. So I think this is why we like this idea of hack and track, not just for yourself to keep an eye on things, especially as things are changing. Different models also have different sensitivities. So you can include some notes where you could say this one model really likes it when you provide positive reinforcement to the model, or you're like, you know, every time you get the right answer or you capitalize things correctly, I'll give you a $200 tip. I know it's weird. Sometimes that works, or you can do negative reinforcements. Like, you know, every time you put things in the wrong order, I will penalize you a point or something like that. Some weird magical thing. Sometimes different models have different sensitivities. You know, that's the thing about these neural nets. They're black boxes. We don't know exactly how one thing relates to another. So they have weird sensitivities. But I think this is basically it. Now, there's many if you're looking for an example of a hack and track sheet, we do have an example in our newsletter, which is on LinkedIn. So please do find us. Go to Cognolytica, find us on LinkedIn. We'll provide a link to that in our show notes as well. Take a look at the Hack and Track newsletter edition, and you'll see an example of what that sheet should work. But then again, that's just, you know, one possible way of setting that up.
Exactly. And if you're doing this at your organization and you can share it, we would love to see what your spreadsheets look like and how you're tracking that. As we continue to have conversations with folks, you know, these best practices are emerging and evolving and, you know, become best practices because prompt engineering is still fairly new. So that, you know, we would love to see what our listeners are doing. I know that we've talked to some of you already, and that is wonderful, but definitely you can reach out on LinkedIn, either personally to me and Ron or through Cognolytica. You can email us info@cognolytica.com, or you can, you know, go to our website as well at cognolytica.com. But this really is an overview of hack and track, what it is, how to use it, why it's important to have. On follow-up podcast, continuing in our prompt engineering best practices, we'll be talking about using external data and documents. And I'll also link to all of our previous prompt engineering best practices podcasts so that you can listen to them if you haven't already, or you just like to re-listen to them for a refresher. If you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to AI Today so you can get notified of all of our upcoming episodes. Like I said, we have another one in this prompt engineering best practices series. We have some great interviews lined up as well, and then we have some additional topics coming up.
Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognolytica. All rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.